Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time. Time for NBWEN Talk Radio, the premier radio show for the National Business Women Enterprise Network Incorporated, a diverse, innovative, and emerging organization catering to the needs of womenpreneurs across the country. With your host, Shelley Williams. Call in now at 347-945-6683 and engage in fireside chats and interactive live discussions. NBWEN Talk Radio. Now, here's Shelley.
Well, hello and welcome everyone to the first show of 2009. And our first show is actually our Relationship Friday with Coach Shelby Hill and his lovely wife, British Hill, both coaches. And as I said to them, I'm going to just let us get right into the show and hopefully we'll have some callers call in. If not, we will just catch up on our lives going on here, because we haven't spoken since before, what, the holiday, guys?
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
So, I am so glad to have you guys back on the show again, and I'm glad that we have Relationship Fridays. And our topic today is one of interest. it was find your true love and lose fake friends.
That's the title there. It might be people listening saying, what does that mean?
Yeah, can you explain what that means? Either one of you, just where did the title come from? What is it? You know, what, give a clue, a summary of what the show is going to be about.
I'm going to let my husband speak on that. Go right ahead.
That's no problem. I appreciate it. No, you know, Shelley, we probably could have several shows about this one, but it really stems from an experience that British and I had when we first met, when we first connected and began that courting period, that romantic period. And you know, as a guy, you have your friendships. You know, you have friendships with various guys, and there's always that one so-called homeboy that you know, your road dog, where you guys are always at the bars or the clubs and you kind of do everything together, talk to, you know, various women. You know, when you're single, you do all the guy things until one of you finds the right woman, falls in love, and she's Miss Right, and all of a sudden he's lost his homeboy. He's lost his, mm-hmm. his close buddy. And, you know, the true or should I say the fakeness in him, actually really it surfaces, and you see what he's really about. So that's where that title comes from. And I'm trying not to get all the way, because I could probably talk about this by myself for the entire show, but I won't.
Well, I know it happens to guys too, but British, you know, have you had that happen to you where you've had a really close girlfriend and you guys were just like, you know, thick as thieves, and then you get, you know, you find your true love, and then all of a sudden she just got ghosts on you?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually had that experience, Shelley. Now, I have to say, I haven't had it with any of my girlfriends that were my true, you know, thick as thieves girlfriends, my close friends. And those tend to be the ones that I've been friends with for, you know, 100 years. There are a couple of people. But even, it's interesting because even amongst my close girlfriends, I'm not going to say that with some of them the dynamics of our relationship didn't change. It did. I mean, we, you know, didn't maybe talk as much. We certainly didn't go out like we used to. We didn't travel, you know, together because my life changed. And so that did change the dynamics. But the relationship, the love between us remained the same, but
right. They weren't hating on you.
Yeah, they weren't hating. It was all love, actually. But it was just, you know, we had different interests, and so we weren't together as much anymore. And then also, these women lived in a different city, so that also was part of it. But I did have one particular experience, specifically about what you're talking about, similar to what Shell had, and that was it was with a girlfriend that lived here in this area locally, and we were hanging out and doing lots of things together and being good friends. I'm not going to say she was my closest friend. She just was my running buddy at the time. And we both, you know, were single and doing lots of things together, and, you know, we were good friends. So, but when Shell and I got together, it was like immediately she felt like, well, you know, you're not going to stop talking to, you know, you're going to put him on the plate with other guys that are interested too. I mean, why would you just settle down and give him a chance before? Because we were dating, and I said to her, I said, well, no, I really think I don't want to date anybody else or even give anybody else a chance. I'm going to give this brother right here an opportunity so I can really get to know him. And that just
right.
burned her up.
Mm.
And I truly believe it was because, you know, of her own, you know, insecurities and issues. She just did not mm-hmm. want to embrace the idea that I would not be hanging on a single tip with her anymore, being single.
Right.
That was just
when you start getting into a committed relationship, that's what happens, and it should be expected that you're not going to be, you know, hanging with your road dog anymore
right.
when you're
right.
in a committed relationship.
Absolutely.
And it even, you know, you start to find other couples that you do couple things
right.
with, as opposed to doing the things that you did when you were single. And I like what you were saying, Shelby. I know when me and my honey started dating, there was a friend that he had that was like, he was telling him, well, you should go and try to date, you know, look for 5 other women and not just date Shelly, just her alone, you know, because she might not be the one. You need to go out there and, like, test the waters and make sure. And I'm like, who would tell you something like that? Why?
Yeah.
If you feel in your heart that I'm the person that you should be with, why would you listen to your homeboy and go and do something like that? And, you know, I was like, oh, goodness, am I in that, what do they say, bros before, you know, the other word. And I was like, I said, I don't want to be in that kind of a relationship with someone where I have to almost, like, literally compete with your
right.
homeboy for
yeah.
your, you know, affections. That just doesn't, I mean, I don't want to say affections. That's not the right word. But you know what I'm saying. There's a place where you, there has to be boundaries. That's the word. There
mm-hmm.
has to be boundaries.
Absolutely.
So, but, you know, I guess, where do you begin in something like this? When you find your true love and you have that one friend that they're, I don't know, like British said, your insecurities start to rear their ugly head.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've been so used to doing things with you that they don't necessarily have a life outside of hanging out with you. How do you make that person, do you get that person completely out of your life, or do you find a place for that person in your life but set those boundaries and try to make them feel comfortable with the new relationship that's there? Or if they're showing that they're fake, you know, and they just start showing all kind of craziness and hating on you,
mm-hmm.
you know, do you just get rid of them out of your life? Or, I mean, what if this is someone that you've been friends with since you were, you know, 5, 6 years old? You know,
right.
and you guys have such a relationship in all those years, memories.
Shelly, I mean, you asked it's a big question, and
mm-hmm.
it's a valid question. And the truth is, and I can speak from experience, and, of course, British was right along my side as I experience these changes, this entire transition and transformation of friendships and people that were in my life,
mm-hmm.
you know, I truly believe that, you know, God and the universe just really kind of manifests everything to be what it's going to be. In other words,
mm-hmm.
if that relationship with that friend of yours is a solid relationship, and you know, I find good love or a healthy relationship that I'm happy in, then sure, my friend may, if he's a true friend, there may be some anxiety there because, you know, I'm not as accessible. And to British's point, you know, things do change. Your responsibilities do change. Your priorities do change when you become
mm-hmm.
involved with someone. But typically, a good friend, a true friend, will understand that. There won't be any animosity. There won't be any of the challenges that you would go through with someone, I guess, you know, hating on you, per se.
Mm-hmm.
They would support you. They would genuinely, authentically be happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
When it's the opposite,
mm-hmm.
it's inevitable that friendship will sever itself. Be
mm-hmm.
it that person, you know, develops so much dislike or jealousy or anger for you and your joy, because you found happiness with, you know, your sincere partner, it will inevitably sever itself, whether
yeah.
you do
mm-hmm.
it or whether that person does it or whether there is a situation overall that happens that dissolves the relationship. It's inevitable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did it, you know, I guess tell us how yours began. You guys have been married for how long?
2 years would be
March 5th,
right?
March 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, congratulations. Yeah. And how long did you date before then?
2 years.
We're kind of textbook.
Yeah, we really were. I mean, you know how they say if it's too many years, then what's up with that? You know, why should it take that? You know what I mean? Maybe there's some other issues that maybe have prevented. I mean, unless you're really young adults where maybe you're in college and, you know what I mean, you're 20 in your 20s or something. But once you're over 30, if it's too many years that go by, oftentimes it becomes, you know, maybe not a bad idea to at least explore why it's been so many years that you've been there. Because there are some couples that there's some undercurrent issues, which is what prevented them from getting married in the first place, and then sometimes then marriage becomes with a Band-Aid. You know, and there was a reason why they weren't getting married anyway. That's why they've been dating for 15 years. You know, that kind
of
right.
10 years. So that's a whole nother show. But
right.
And then you have the situation again. I think when you get over a certain age, it usually doesn't take those many years to know whether or not this is a person you want to marry. And
exactly.
It shouldn't take that long. And so with Shell and I, it was great. I mean, it was an immediate connection. We started the dating process with each other, and he courted me. It was just textbook. I think, what was it, babe? A year after we dated and were together really strong for a year, you asked me to marry you. And then we were engaged for a year.
Right.
Okay.
A traditional engagement, planning of the wedding, you know, whole nine yards. And then after that, you know, now 2 years married, so 4 years.
Wow.
Married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So during that period of time, this is when you guys had the friend that was there or friends that were there and kind of came in and changed that or changed the way that they felt about you guys' relationship as a couple and also as your friendship relationship kind of changed, right? How did that occur and what happened?
My situation was very early on. I mean, Shelby definitely can speak on more detail. His was real clear that kind of evolved over time with a guy that he had seen some signs of haterism even before.
Right. Mm.
But so this was like the straw that the straw that broke the camel's back. It was clear.
Right.
But for me with this woman, it was like, I'm telling you, what was it? It might have been a month in, and she was removed out of my life.
She was gone.
I mean, just gone.
Like she had vanished.
It was she was acting like a real fool, just being nasty to Shelby and still hook me up with other men. And
what?
I mean, she just had a real jealousy issue, and then she was jealous because she realized. And it's not like she wasn't around when I was dating someone else, but see, before I met my husband, I was dating a man who lived in Dallas, Texas, and I was here in Tampa, Florida, and so that was no threat to her. He was already there, so we still, you know, would do things and hang out. I was so suddenly when there was a man that appeared to be a real man that I was having a real connection with that was so into me, it just threatened her. She acted like a real fool, so it was about a month if that long.
Wow.
That's putting it mildly.
did you tell her to get gone, or did she just kind of, you know, mosey on out your life, or did you have to actually tell her?
I didn't tell her. Obviously a series of conversations, little things she would say and do, and we bumped heads, and then she bumped some heads with Shelby, and, you know, it was just little signs and things was going on. And I think one time we were still trying to, you know, get along and make it work, and her and I just really clashed, and I just, you know, flat out was like, told her, I said, listen, I am going to give this man an opportunity. I like him a lot, and I am not interested in doing this and doing that, meeting this guy with you, blah, 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 and I just was flat out, and I said, and you know what, you're going to have to respect that, so
you
need to stop acting like I'm not involved with somebody, because I am. It pushed me to have to be that way with her because of the stuff that was happening before. And then it just kind of dissolved, Shelley. I just sort of stopped calling her, and then she stopped calling me, and then I think she even called and said, well, why you don't call me no more? What happened? And I said, girl, you know, I've just been really busy. And she said, I'm sure you and Shelby hanging out and tight, huh? I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, we really are. It's been beautiful. And that was it. And I've seen her a few times.
That was pretty much
that.
It.
Yep, it was cordial, but no, that was the end of that. And I wanted it that way because I did not want that negative energy around me, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
It was true.
That makes sense.
Very true.
So, Shelby, what about your situation? Did it take a little bit longer as a guy?
You know, it did. It was definitely different. This particular guy, I mean, I hadn't known him all my life, but we, over the course of maybe 4 years, we had grown pretty tight. But during that four-year period of being buddies and traveling and hanging out and partying and all the things that guys do, we had grown pretty tight. But the thing is that we, when I look back on it, actually while him and I were still friends at the time, I realized that we never had, there was really never any substance to our conversations. There really wasn't any substance to our friendship other than, you know, hanging out and talking about women and, you know, doing and going to football games and stuff like that. And that was really the extent of it, because when serious topics would come up, it would just kind of get swept under the rug. It's like there was no interest in that. And so that was interesting. That was very interesting. So that was one thing. And what happened particularly in that case, Shelley, is that because we were so social in Tampa and pretty known, people interact with you and people see how you know the two people interact with one another. They would see,
right?
And people would come to me and be like, you know, your friend, you know, he wants to be like you. He's hating on you. He's jealous of you. And female friends would come by and kind of share that with me. And then his reputation was really a bad reputation when it came to women. And so what happens, you know, his reputation becomes my reputation.
Yeah.
You know, so birds of a feather flock together.
Right.
And I began to realize that when they said his name or they said my name, we were synonymous. It was, you know, we were associated together.
Peas
so.
In a pod, huh?
Yeah, peas in a pod. So that didn't pan over well with me because I didn't want to have that kind of reputation.
Mm-hmm.
So over the course of time, all these things would surface, and there was a couple of different incidents that let me know, a couple of key incidents that let me know that this guy was really, truly not my friend.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the type of person that, hey, if I wanted to hang out, we could hang out. So long story short, British and I meet at the Super Bowl party that him and some of his other buddies threw, and you know, British and I meet, we connect, and before you know it, it was like overnight. We were spending all this time together, her and I. And when your ace boom coon isn't around anymore, and as often as you like, or as accessible as you like for him to be, then you know, unfortunately, and it sounds really funny to say this, but emotions start to surface, and that's kind of what would happen. And so a lot of that hating and haterism and jealousy and all these different feelings really, really start to surface when him and I would go and meet out for beers or something at a bar or whatever and watch some football. It would always be other women around that he would just, you know, invite without even letting me know, putting me in that position along with him.
Right,
and,
right.
It really got to a point where it was really uncomfortable, and, of course, things were exchanged and said, and it just became in my best interest to really separate the friendship, period.
And he would do things, Shelly, like not just, you know, invite, you know, Shelby to a bar where everybody's watching the game and, you know, that kind of stuff, and it happened to be other women around, which, you know, that's going to be the case. I mean, you can't.
Right.
But he would invite, you know, deliberately invite a woman that maybe he's seeing in some capacity. I want to keep this rated G. But, you know, he would invite
her friend along.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. You know, it's like, come on. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Not
making it really obvious.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, okay, now here come her friend. It's, you know,
right.
So.
Just by accident, huh?
Yeah. Or Shelby and this guy would be at already maybe at the sports bar or wherever they were, and they would
uh-huh.
be there. And then this guy would, you know, make a phone call, and then the women would show up. So Shell, like he said, initially it'll be a thing where he'd be like, okay, because he would come home and tell me, because it would be frustrating because it would turn out that he think he's just going to have some beers with this guy, and he's suddenly now he's sitting there in a, you know, foursome with him and two women and the other guy.
Right.
Right.
It definitely, it's an awkward situation because we both at the time were very active in real estate here in the
mm-hmm.
Tampa area. So it would always be, come on, man, let's meet up for a couple of drinks. You know, let's talk about some business and whatnot. Let me tell you what I got going on, you know, about
mm-hmm.
this deal, that deal. And that was always the setup. Okay?
Right, right. He would mask it that way, and then you get there, and it'd be a totally different scene.
Totally different thing. Totally different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after a while, it definitely gets old, and you find yourself in uncomfortable situations, especially when people know you in your community.
Right.
Being that British is known in the community as well, it's just you don't want to give people the wrong impression. And me being associated with him, although people may know me, my personality, my character, and know my girlfriend at the time, British,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's still the fact that I'm connected to him in that type of environment where
mm-hmm.
there's no British around, that people are going to start to assume some things. It's only natural.
And I want to say one more thing, too, just to kind of be on the other side, just, you know, maybe looking at it perhaps from this guy's perspective at the time, and I'm sure he had his, you know, motives, and what came out later, it was, you know, clear he really was not fully respecting, you know, Shelby's relationship, although
mm-hmm.
he didn't have a beef with me. I mean, he would always be happy to see me and this, that, and another. He knew how much Shelby loved me and cared about me, so all that was on the table. But
mm-hmm.
one of the things we realized, Shell and I, and talked about, and that was, see, before I came in the picture and Shell and I made our connection, this was common practice that
mm-hmm.
Shell and this other guy would do, okay?
Right.
Just follow
right.
me on for this for a second. And so although there might have been, you know, somebody that Shelby might have been, you know, dating, but it wasn't all that serious. It certainly wasn't nobody he was planning to marry, but it was somebody he, you know, might have been kicking it with or whatever. And then the other guy, so the other guy, you know, had seen or felt or knew, you know, yeah, Shelby kicking it with Sharon. Yeah, Sharon, you and Sharon hanging out tonight or whatever. So I believe that this was such a major adjustment for
mm-hmm.
this guy. And it was a major, that it was almost like he was just continuing to do what he had felt like it was always okay, because ain't nobody else really
right.
did that special that they couldn't continue this behavior. So when I came into the picture, he was just taking a real long time to realize that, man, bro, man, this ain't the same kind of situation it was with Karen, Sharon, and Pam, you know, over
right.
the last 5 years. You know,
do you feel like what he was doing, once he knew that you and Shelby were, you know, committed and in a committed relationship and he continued to act that way and invite Shelby out, did you feel like, I know you said that he was being disrespectful to Shelby, but don't you feel that he was somewhat disrespecting you as well?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I completely
yeah.
felt like he was disrespecting me. I mean, because, you know, although the friendship was absolutely between him and Shelby, and I was, you know, kind of peripheral. I was his friend through my man. But absolutely I felt like there was disrespect because
mm-hmm.
he would laugh, you know, come to my house for barbecues and laugh and, you know, kiki in my face
mm-hmm.
about, you know, how great I am for Shelby and how happy he is for us and all that kind of stuff. But then he didn't have any qualms about disrespecting behind my back. And a lot of it is also his level of what's right and what's wrong. You know, the truth
absolutely.
Is that this man, morally, you know, he does come from a school of thought, a mindset of this
absolutely.
Kind of stuff is okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's your woman.
Mm-hmm.
I know you love her. She love you. But, you know, man, and, you know, I mean, that's what's his
mm-hmm.
mindset. And a lot of men, unfortunately, look at it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, we just kicking it. These are just some friends. That's all. It's not no
right.
big thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or even worse, Shelley, they really are coming from a place of entitlement. You know, maybe they grew up in the house where, yeah, daddy and mama were married, but you know what? It's all right for daddy to play a little bit on the side.
Absolutely.
You know, that every man I ever known does that. So, man, that's what men do. So that's what I'm saying. His perspective and his, you know, the lenses he looked out of was very different when it came to how it should be, even if you find a woman you love. It's all right.
His value system was definitely, definitely different from, you know, I would imagine many men, most men.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, well,
so how do you handle that type of situation? I mean, I understand how. What would your advice be to someone else that might be going through that? That, you know, they found the person that they want to spend the rest of their life with, but yet they have this person in their life that they, you know, this is a good friend, and you know, in you guys' situation, these were. I'm not sure about you, British, but, you know, Shelby, your friend was not a person that you grew up with as
right.
a friend. What would you tell someone if they have someone that's been in their life since they were itty-bitty? I mean, they're like brothers to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this person comes into their life and, bam, the relationship, it changes. You know, the couple is a couple. They're doing couple things. They're going out with other couples. And, I mean, I know we had the situation where we had my cousins invited us out. We wanted to start doing a monthly double date kind of thing. Well, actually, it was like a triple date because it was my cousin, two of my cousins and their spouses, and then me and Cedric. And I know the one night that we went out, you know, his homeboy was out and about, and he didn't have anything else to do, and he wanted to come along, and I'm like, you know, honey, this is a couple thing. Does he have a date?
Right.
If he doesn't have a date, he really should not come because that kind of disrupts the flow of what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy was just really, you know, adamant about going ahead and coming over, and we ended up having I don't want to say we had a horrible night, but it was kind of awkward, you know, because he came over and he was, you know, he kind of took Cedric away to go, you know, chat with him, and then Cedric came back and he was with me, and then he didn't have anything else to do, so he starts hitting on my cousins. Well, they're married. And I'm like,
wow.
See, this is why he can't be, you know, if we're going to do things with him, he needs to bring someone, or, you know, because we can't do that. But anyway, if someone is in that situation where this person has been in their life all their lives, and now they're moving to a different, you know, relationship, how do you sever those ties without, I don't even know how to say it, how do you sever those ties without hurting that person's feelings, but letting them know, hey, if you can't accept and you can't respect this relationship, then, you know, what do you need to do?
You know, it's a tough situation, no doubt about it, Shelley. It's definitely a tough situation, especially when you talk about, you know, two people who've grown up together and, you know, you probably consider themselves brothers to some
mm-hmm.
extent. But the truth of the matter is that they're friends. And this
mm-hmm.
may sound kind of cold, kind of harsh, but, you know, people do grow up and people do change. And
mm-hmm.
just because I've known you for a long period of time, it doesn't entitle you to, it doesn't mean that you and I have, we will always be friends. We will always be close. You are entitled to the things that are going on in my life. It doesn't mean that. We
mm-hmm.
grow up, we change, we develop our own personalities and ways of doing things, and we develop different value systems. And that's just a fact of life. So you really have to step back and look at what the friendship is, what the
mm-hmm.
relationship is with that person, as opposed to looking at the time that you've known this person, because the time really doesn't mean anything. They could still be a horrible friend. They could have been a horrible friend to you for 10 years.
That's true.
You know, just because you've known them for all this time, it doesn't mean that the two of you, by law, have to stay connected. So
right.
it is hard. But to your point, if your friend, if that guy has found love and he's happy with the woman that he's with, and
mm-hmm.
this longtime friend of his is supposed to be a true, dear, good friend of his, then he should be able to express that to his buddy, and they should be able to find a common ground, and you know, there should be some happiness there in some capacity. But there, more than anything, there should definitely be respect for your relationship. So if he can't do that, and this is why I said earlier, if that can't happen, then it's
mm-hmm.
inevitable, Shelley, that that relationship, it will dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think just to piggyback on that and everything Shelby said, everything my husband said, I'm in full agreement with. I will just add that you really need to sit that guy down. It, you know, these two friends,
mm-hmm.
you need to sit him down and just talk to him and say, man, you know, I know we've been friends for 20 years. We've done a lot of things, you know, even in guy talk, we seen women come and go, blah, blah, blah. But whatever they say, and then he needs to get to, but I need you to understand that this is the woman I plan to spend the rest of my life with. She is
yep.
the one.
Mm-hmm.
So she is not the same as maybe, you know, other women that I've dated in the past or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So kind of take the guy, take the friend maybe off the fence by saying, I know we've done a lot together. We got a lot of history. We definitely have done our thing and played and all that. But, man, you know, I just want to tell you this is very different. And I want you to be able to understand where I'm at, and then so you can get to know her, you know, and respect her. Like I need you to just something like that, where basically whatever it is that he says, so that his friend will know that this is a very different situation. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to put you down and make you feel terrible, but I am letting you know that if you didn't know, now you do know that this
mm-hmm.
is the one.
That's a great point, Brutus, and I want to add something to that too. And the challenge, there is a challenge with that, and
mm-hmm.
we talked about it a moment ago, and that is his level, you know, whatever his level of understanding or his perspective of relationships. You know, it goes back to his moral and value system too. Because if he's at that lower level in thinking,
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
even though you may pull him aside and want to give him a heart to heart, it's not going to make a difference. And I've seen.
Oh
that
yeah, I was going to say.
Obviously.
Yeah, it depends on how he is. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, you know, it's you're the guy, the good guy, might have all the best intentions, but if that guy is just at that level, it's not going to make a difference. And you know, again, it goes back to he might be like, nah, man, yeah, you know, I understand. She's cool. It's cool. You know, I want the best for you. All those different things. But the truth is, you know, he's still going to walk away whatever his initial feeling was anyway, and that is,
mm-hmm.
you know, hate or you know whatever it is.
Being bitter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
is.
But
mm-hmm.
and you know what? That's true, and that's very true. But I think one of the things I would tell if I was coaching somebody on this is that's true. This you know, maybe if the guy is on a lower level of awareness, there is a chance he might say, "Oh yeah, man, I understand," and then don't respect still. But
mm-hmm.
at least you have done your part.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
And that's all that you can
do. Because you can't control, really, truly, you can't really control how that person's going to respond.
No,
they may
right.
take offense. They may say, man, well, why are you coming to me? You know, what you trying to say? Or they may say, man, you know what, I really appreciate you. You know, absolutely. Okay, cool. I'll be different now or whatever. You don't
mm-hmm.
know. Or they may say, oh, no, you're right, like Shelby said, and then go keep doing the same crap.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that
mm-hmm.
you have set the standard.
Mm-hmm.
He you know, for whatever it's worth, can't ever say, well, man, you really never clarified, you know, what she meant. You know what I'm saying? You know, he can't lean on that. You know,
he
you have done your part. So it's not really about what he's going to do with it, because he's going to be who he is and do what it is he's going to do.
Right.
But
right.
you have done
right.
your part, and you have honored your relationship by making sure that he knows, and if it continues to obviously be a level of disrespect and not honoring. Well, you know what? Then you can sever those ties.
Right.
But at least you told him.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like how you said that, because it's funny how you'll have someone that'll be like, well, I didn't know what you meant.
Oh,
I didn't know what
yeah.
y'all was doing. I didn't
right.
know. I didn't know y'all. You know, and he can clearly see that there's something different about the relationship that you're in now as opposed to, you know, all the stuff that y'all have been doing in the past.
Yep.
And so now you have something that, you know, he can see it, but he doesn't want to accept it.
That's right.
And so, you know, he's still trying to put this little thing here, this little bug in your ear. Well, you know, you should test out the waters and,
yep.
and see if it's – and he knows that that's not what that is. And so
right.
you know, it's like, why would you, if you're a true friend to that person, then why would you try to steer him away from something that would be good for him? And what would your reason be other than, you know, either you're bitter because it's not happening for yourself, or you're insecure, or, you know, whatever the reason is. That's kind of like, you know, kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Completely. But it goes back to that, you know, if you don't know, even though, and you make some good points, Shelley, but imagine if, you know, my perspective is that you clearly know, you know, how could he not know? He sees that he loves me. He sees that we're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that is what I believe, that that is what he sees. But you know what? I don't know how true that is, because in his eyes and his mind and the lenses he looks out of, he may not see that.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, from a coach perspective,
absolutely,
that may not be what he see. What he may see is they just playing, or I don't think she really that good for him really anyway.
Right.
You know, in his mind. So regardless, once again, we can't be concerned about what he sees. We don't really know what he sees, but if we put it up front to him and say, listen, man, I need to sit down and tell you what's really going on. Here's what I expect. This is what I want. I love this woman. Then there's no room for misinterpretations, because you said your piece, and he's going to do whatever he's going to do.
Absolutely. So there leaves no room for guessing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing is laying it out on the table and making it clear, making it plain, as they say.
Right.
Plain as the nose on your face. If you didn't know then, now you know.
Now you know. Where does the onus lies then, Shelby? What would you say, Shell? So where does the responsibility in this case
lie,
Shell?
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question. I'm sorry.
I'm asking, baby. So based on what we are talking about, so where does the responsibility really kind of lie? Who has the onus to sort of move this in the right direction then?
I definitely believe that it's the man who has the relationship, the man who's in love, the man who's, you know, moving on and who's found joy with this woman. I think that because he's the one that obviously has the awareness of the whole situation, it would be in his best interest to go ahead and initiate this conversation or this interaction with his friend, and so that they can put this on the table. And is that what you're asking me?
Right.
Okay.
Well,
I don't think
I don't think it's just for the man. I mean, if you're a woman and you have a friend that's doing that, of course, I guess that's the question is, who has the responsibility of letting the friend know that, hey, this is the person that I've chosen. You need to accept that, and da 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 da.
Absolutely.
So you said it. You answered it right.
Yeah, that falls.
Yeah, you did.
One
that
in the relationship.
Falls right on the guy who's involved.
Yeah.
Because the truth of the matter is that the other friend, if it's up to him, he'll never say anything about it. He'll just keep doing what he does.
Yeah, because it's not his relationship.
Right, it's not his relationship.
Right.
And if it's a woman, you know, the same for her. If it was the girlfriend thing and your girl was hating on your relationship or wasn't really respecting it, then it's the woman in the relationship that has the responsibility to go to her girlfriend and say, listen, here's where I'm at, and this is what I need you to do. That's what I did with this woman, and that is really, I think, why we just sort of faded away, because she couldn't misinterpret it anymore.
Absolutely.
Right. Exactly, and that you said it right. You can't misinterpret it if you lay it out there. You make it plain, and you put it on the table and say, this is what it is. Then you have no room for, well, I didn't know what y'all were doing, and, you know, da-da-da-da.
People will do that in a minute. People will.
They will.
They'll
play dumb.
They'll play dumb, and then people see what they want to see. So sometimes you got to help them out a little bit by letting them know where you stand.
You know, it's interesting because relationships are relationships are relationships, no matter how you look at it. It could be a woman to a man, and you could still be having the same conversation about one of his friends or one of his girlfriends, one of her girlfriends. And here we're talking about two guys, for an example, and it's still a relationship. It's still emotions. It's still feelings that are around it because of the connection that the two guys have.
Right.
And, you know, it's important that men realize that. And when you have situations where you're separating potentially separating from a person as far as a friendship, there is some anxiety that goes around that. And it's real.
Right.
And often guys try to be, we try to be so tough and act like, you know, oh, it doesn't matter to me, you know, whatever, later for him. And
mm-hmm.
that's not always the case. I mean, because the truth of the matter is when the two of you have bonded in some way, you know, over the years, you've had a bond, you've experienced various things in your life, and, you know, you can't change that.
Right.
But to my point earlier, it does come a point that where, you know, you're not always, in most cases, you're not always going to be on the same page. One of you
right.
hopefully will elevate, if not both
mm-hmm.
of you, but in some cases, most cases, one of you just kind of graduates to the next level. And
you know what's so funny? Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
You know what's so funny? You say that, that it's regardless of what relationship. I remember being at a job. And
mm-hmm.
having been there for several years, this actually happened in two jobs that I was at. Because I'm one person that if I'm somewhere, I like to stay put.
mm-hmm.
I don't really move. I think I've had three jobs in my whole life.
Wow.
And you know, because I stay unless it's
yeah.
something that really pushes me to move. You know, I was at this one job for like 6-7 years, and the only reason why I left is because I was in the process of, you know, getting divorced, and I needed to move. And when I was leaving, oh, my boss was livid. I mean, he was just the one boss. The other two were, you know, they were happy for me. But
mm-hmm.
the one boss was like, you know, I gave you an opportunity straight out of college. You know, you came down here, you got your experience, you did exactly what I thought you would do. And I'm like, what in the world? I had an opportunity. You know, I had something happen in my life that makes me have to leave. But he was really upset. And then the next boss that I had did the same thing, but he actually said to me, "You're divorcing me."
Wow.
I looked at him like, huh? I was like, are you kidding me?
That's
He's
funny.
Like, well, I thought we were going to be together. You were going to be my assistant for the rest of my career until I retired and da-da-da-da. And I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
So you're right. It goes across the board, even, you know, friendships, you know, relationships, and even in your career,
yeah.
you know, you have people that just don't take that change and that growth very well. When you're maturing and going into a different
yeah.
level,
yep.
they don't take that very well, so they get their emotions, get the best of them.
Yep.
And, I mean, this one boss, oh, my goodness. and we talk now, but when I first left, oh, my goodness, it was kind of like, wow, I couldn't believe it.
wow.
Just the way that it ended, and we didn't talk for a while. So
wow.
yeah,
that's interesting, Shelly. So
yeah,
I mean,
very.
what does that say to you about the relationship that, you know, your boss interpreted between the two of you?
Well, I'm a very loyal person, and
mm-hmm.
and I may have, you know, and I really did. I like to be somewhere and stay put. I don't like to leave. There has to be extenuating circumstances that would make me have to leave. And at that point, it was my kids. And it was like, you know, you got me working 12, 13, 14 hours. You got me working at work and from home. And I just can't do this anymore. So I transitioned to a position that would allow me to have more time with my kids and, you know, and more flexibility. And had he been flexible, and had he, you know, given me a little bit of a raise, it would have been, you know, I would have stayed. I really would have. I would have, you know, it would have been a better opportunity. And I mentioned to him what would make me stay. He asked me, and I told him, and he wouldn't do that. You know, so it was like, you know, what could I do? What other alternative did I have? My family's going to always come first, you know,
right.
no matter what. That is. Absolutely, there's nobody can do anything that takes me away from my family. You know, God first, then family, then career. So,
right.
you know, if you can't be flexible with me with regard to my career, then I got to go. I got to see you and go someplace else that's going to be more, you know, flexible and more understanding about that area in my life. That's why I left the other job to go and, well, to pursue my business. You know, but when I left that position, there was no, I mean, the lady, oh, she was heavenly. I could go back to her and talk to her forever. She was just so encouraging, you know, when I left. She was like, yes, please, you know, pursue this. And she was just very loving and open. But the guy was like, no. He was so used to me. And I guess it's just you know, different people's personalities. She was fine, and he was just like, no, you know, you've just done so much. I just don't want to lose you, you know, and because it was like that thin line between love and hate almost
right.
In that relationship. So, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it is. And, I mean, no, like as what Shelby said, I mean, it's a relationship is a relationship is a relationship. You can have a lot of the same dynamics going on in, you know, employer-employee relationships, friend relationships, romantic ones. It's so true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Shelly, that must say a lot about you because everyone that you come in contact with, they don't ever want to let you go.
Yeah, it seems to be that way. It's funny. I am a loyal person, and if you look at my page on my site, on all my sites, I remember when my honey and I started dating, and we were, you know, looking for our spiritual characters in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and he called me Ruth, and so I went and I looked up in, you know, I love the story of Ruth and Naomi, and I love the Proverbs 31 woman. I've always aspired to be those, you know, that way, and they say that Ruth is parallel to the Proverbs 31 woman. So when I went and kind of, you know, did my research online to find out what Ruth meant as her character, and it was like loyalty and friendship, and I've always been that way.
Wow.
And so he hit the nail on the head when he gave me that character because that's how I've always been, you know. And that's probably why it's hard for me to get rid of some folks. I don't want to say it like that, but maybe it's kind of hard when I'm trying to take a step in a different direction that people, you know, we have a hard time severing ties.
Right.
Because I feel, me on one end, I feel really bad, and people don't understand that. It was a hard, by the time I come to that decision, I've done a lot of soul searching, I've done a lot of praying, I've done a lot of crying, because I don't want to sever ties, but, you know, because I'm moving in a different direction, I have to, you know. So it's always hard, and people don't get that part about me that I've made. By the time I come to that decision, I've really been thinking about it for a while. Every position that I've ever left, as far as my career, it was months before I came and said, you know what, I need to go. I'd already been looking at it. I've been weighing my options. You know, even in my relationship with my husband when I divorced him, I've been with him for 10 years. And, you know, the abuse started way before we even got married. And so, you know, I got small kids, and I want to make sure that I have a stable home environment for them. I weighed the options over and over again. And it was like when it got to a certain point, it was like, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I got to go,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's been that way. I've got friends that it just hurt my heart
mm-hmm.
to sever ties with them. But it was like, you know, what do I do? You know, pray about it, cry about it. You know, what's the best for my family first? You know, what do I feel God would feel? You know, what do I think he's saying about it? What direction is he telling me to go in? And that's how I come to my decisions. And they're very difficult most times.
And, you know, that difficulty is because of what you said, that fierce loyalty that you have, which I think is a wonderful trait. I tend to be a pretty loyal person myself.
Yeah.
But I think that is a beautiful, wonderful trait that people find endearing. They really
Absolutely.
Do because it's rare. Let me ask you this. So in the departures that you finally do make, whether it be after a long contemplation at a job and then you finally leave, or a long contemplation in a relationship and then you finally had enough and I'm out, friendships, when you finally do part, how is
mm-hmm.
it for you in the aftermath? Do you have a tendency to go back and forth and back and forth, or do you have more of a tendency to be done and move on?
Well, it just depends on the relationship. Most times, like I said, by the time I got to that point, like with the career part, mm-hmm. I didn't look back. I left and I went forward and kept on going. In my marriage, we actually separated, I think, like 3 times.
Okay.
Where I left, and then I came back, and I left, and I came back, and I left, and came back. Even in my dating, you know, I've been, this relationship now, I've come back. So it's like,
okay.
You know, okay. It takes a minute. I think the hardest thing for me is severing relationships, even in friendships, is those things. I don't think my career, like I said, because my family and being in the role that I'm in as a mother, as a wife, as a significant other, those are very important roles for me in my life. And
mm-hmm.
career can be, you know I need that because I need to be able to maintain the household and help with bills and stuff like that. But I think that my personal relationships are more important to me than career.
Yeah, I'm the same.
So those have been the ones that I've been, you know, like, okay, I'm going to go over here. No, I'm going to go back. You know, I've been really like on a roller coaster ride with those.
Right.
Okay. That was good. I appreciate you answering that. If we weren't, you know, so close to six, we'd go a little
we'd
bit.
We'd go into a full blown coaching session.
It's not a bad thing. I just was curious about how you handled it afterwards. And so, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. I like talking to you guys because you make me really think. You make me go deeper than I would just being out there just, you know, thinking about certain stuff. So,
uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Because I forgot all about that career part until Shelby mentioned that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a part of it. I mean, it's relationships and everything we do. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's but the beauty of it all is that for the most part, you can determine, you can decide who you want to be in your circle of people,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so if someone's going through a relationship or a situation where, they, you know, their friend has found love and they're feeling unfulfilled and unhappy and jealous of that person, you know, I think a lot of the things that we've shared here today, you know, with British saying, hey, be direct and have a conversation with that person, And so that there's no room for misinterpretation, things of that nature, I think that these things would be very helpful to that person. It would definitely, I would imagine, make them look at themselves and how they're behaving towards
mm-hmm.
their friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and if you really, truly cherish that relationship, that friendship, you will, you know, get some, if you don't already have somebody to talk to you and get some help, if you want to, you know, save that relationship or save that friendship, if you know that, you know, right now you just can't deal with that, then, you know, step away for a minute, get yourself together, and then come back and see how you can handle it at a later date. You know, sometimes that helps. I think, Shelby, you mentioned that before when we were talking a while back about separating and just completely cutting off all communication and just, you know, sitting off to the side and just kind of contemplating those things and then see how you come, you know, back to that relationship and how things go from there. And if you
Absolutely.
Can't, you can't.
Yeah.
You know.
Go ahead, Shelly. I'm sorry.
I was going to say sometimes, you know, it's just not meant to be saved. Sometimes it's meant to, you know, almost like tough love. Sometimes it's meant for that person to, in order for them to grow and be a better person, sometimes it's okay to just let them, you know, go in a different direction. And like you said, they will, if it's a true, you know, friendship or true relationship, they'll come back and they'll be better for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well said. I mean, you sometimes it absolutely is just the right thing to do, which is to separate, to walk away from it, step away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time people find that challenging because they feel they don't have faith in themselves or the relationship that if I do step away, you know, if it's meant to be, we will be able to work this out. But a lot of times people are afraid to do that because, you know, for whatever reasons, their insecurities or whatever it may be, the situation may be, but they stay in it. And they keep trying
mm-hmm.
to push forward. They keep trying to push it and make things happen, make things work. And that's even more detrimental to the relationship because
right.
you're really not you're not able to see what the problems are. You're not able to see what the obstacles are before you. And so
right.
it's kind of like you keep running into the same brick wall and not getting any different results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only till you can step away from it and kind of look at what's really going on and gather your thoughts, can you really start to make some adjustments and some improvements in your relationship.
Exactly.
But you gotta trust, you gotta have faith in yourself, more importantly than anything, to trust your instincts and trust your feelings and trust the direction that that you're being guided.
Right, right. Wonderful.
Oh, very true.
Well, British, anything else you want to add to the conversation as we wrap up here?
No, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. This has been very enlightening, and
mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people out there will be able to relate to this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And,
definitely.
You know, when we were talking about bringing on the topic, I was just, I know when I talk to you guys about certain things, and I'm just getting used to it, that, you know, what I've experienced or what someone else may have experienced, you guys have either been through it or you know of an issue that someone else has gone through, and you always have the right things to say and, you know, the right things to bring to the forefront in the conversation. I really like that and appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
Thank you.
So if anybody wants to determine who their fake friends are or good... I guess they should fall in love if they haven't already.
Right. Well, you know, you guys are wonderful. How can people get in touch with you to, you know, I know you guys have your radio show as well each week. So, you know, give your information out there so people can contact you and also listen in on your show on a weekly basis.
Go ahead, sweetheart. You go first.
Well, the Much Love Radio show, you can find us where we always are talking about something as it pertains to love and relationships.
Absolutely.
Taking your calls and answering your questions on the show. And that you can find us and get more information on the next Much Love show by visiting www.blogtalkradio.com/ is it Much Love Radio?
Yes,
shall
Much
we?
Love Radio Show.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Much
yeah.
love. He produces the show, so I was okay. So blogtalkradio.com/muchloveradioshow, and you can also find out more about my private coaching services and group coaching services through my website, which is britishfordhillcoaching.com. Click on Compass Coaching Network for more information on my group coaching for as low as $39 a month.
Wonderful.
Nice.
Shelby?
Nice. Absolutely. absolutely. Much Love Radio, British and I. And also you can find me at my own personal practice, which is Shelby M, as in Maurice, Hill, coaching.com. ShelbyMHillCoaching.com. And fill out the free consultation form. Love. I get submissions all the time, and love doing free consultations for anyone to see if coaching is good for you or if we can just work through any type of situation that you may be experiencing at the time. Fill out the contact form, and you know, I'll return the message to you within 24 to 48 hours. And lastly, I've also started a group, a brand new networking group, social group, and it's all about relationships, and it's called GetGoodRelationships.com.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. Go right ahead.
That site is awesome, by the way. You got to go check it out, everybody.
I did. I just signed up.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's, and thank you, Shelley. It's an interactive social networking group that it's about sharing concepts, information, and tools within the site with one another to enhance other relationships. And it's not just romance. It's, as we talked about today, it's professional, social, intimate. It's about all sorts of relationships. So it's a great group. It's on the horizon. And check it out, getgoodrelationships.com.
Good deal. Well, thank you guys very, very much for being on the show today.
Absolutely.
We got about 45 seconds left. So.
Wow, our pleasure.
Thank you so much. And, of course, everybody, you can log on to our site at nbwen.org.ning.com. Or you can go to our official website, mbwin.org, and sign up, join us online for free. Our next networking session is actually this Saturday, the 24th, and I'll show you how to navigate through all of these social networking sites. That's coming up on Saturday, the 24th, and you have until Saturday, the 17th, to get your early bird special. It's almost it's $9 off. So, again, thank you guys so much, and have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon.
You
thank
too,
you.
Shelley.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Shelly, for having us.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to You've been listening to NBWEN Talk Radio, the premier radio show for the National Business Women Enterprise Network Incorporated, with your host, Shelley Williams. For program information, call 888-436-2159. That's 888-436-2159. NBWEN Talk Radio, making a difference, ensuring success.